Question for you to sort of think through. If you were to be described, would someone describe you as a person who sees the glass as half full or half empty? Are you a half full person or a half empty person? How many of you would say you're a half full person? All right. I won't ask the others to raise their hand because those who didn't raise their hand, glass half full. Both of them have a place. Both of them have a purpose. But I was thinking this week when we were talking about Thanksgiving and looking forward to it, of realizing how much we tend to be a society of people who complain a lot. That I was reading this week and sort of thinking through, why do we complain? And psychologists tell us there's three types of complainers. There's the chronic complainers, where they're always complaining about someone or something. And they often view life through just sort of a negative lens of life, themselves, and others. There's a second type they call the venters, and those are those who vent to others. They complain to others, looking for people to validate their venting, trying to get them to agree because they have the same complaints. That people who vent often vent, but they also sometimes vent with an agenda. And then the last kind were what they call the instrumental complainers. And these are people who they complain about things, but they complain about them for the purpose of trying to figure out how to solve them. And so psychologists tell us the first two often are unhealthy. The third one can be constructive and positive. And so as I was going through this, I had to just sort of do a mental check. Where would I put myself in this? Am I a chronic complainer? Am I a venter? Or am I an instrumental complainer? When I was going down the rabbit hole of sort of looking into this, psychologists tell us that our brains are wired for survival. And so we often live and we learn to just identify things that could harm our survival. And so we're sort of trained to be on the lookout for the bad things that could happen to us. And so they're like, almost by default, we're wired to be people who complain. That in some of their studies, they find that people can identify five things to complain about before they can find one thing they should be thankful for. And when you think about our society today, that's not hard to see, that if you just pay attention to your news feeds, our news feeds are often filled with complaints. They're filled with negative things about leadership, about our nation, the world, about anyone who's on the other side of anything we have a stance on. That when I was going through this week, I looked at two of my news feeds, and the titles, some of the words that were in the titles of the articles were sedition, arrest, outrageous, and unprofessional, about feuds between politicians and neighbors, and just people in general. They talked about having dark circles under people's eyes, the mistakes you can make with mashed potatoes, articles describing the drama that happens between people, debates over the best time to serve your Thanksgiving dinner, charges of stealing and convictions, the worsening state of our economy, increased credit card debt, inflation, anxiety, and worry. And I was going through my feed, and I couldn't find any titles that had anything to do about thankfulness or the goodness of things that are going on. That the only place I found anything positive was in ads singing the praises of their products. And we're around this all the time. And then if you go on social media, that doesn't help either, because social media tends to stir up more negative emotions than positive. From people displaying this picture-perfect life that we now, again, years ago came up with this whole thing of FOMO, fear of missing out, that when you see these curated lives, you suddenly feel like, oh no, my life isn't good enough. What am I missing out on? And we start to view our own life through a negative lens. And so psychologists and neuropsychologists tell us that if we're chronically complaining, that has the ability to rewire our brains. That as we complain, our brain builds just connections between different neurons. And so the more connections we build through a negative association or a negative outlook, our brains, they said, are also lazy, where when they're trying to communicate, they'll take the established route. And so if more of our brain, the connections have been established by negative thoughts, by complaining, we tend to then have a more negative view of ourselves in life. That complaining decreases our ability to handle stress, We become more irritable, more anxious, more worried, even more depressed. Complaining leads to less sleep. It decreases our ability to solve problems, to think critically, and often creates more health problems for us. That if we complain too much, it also creates social isolation because as people, we tend to keep away from chronic complainers. Who knew just regular complaints? It might seem small, but when that becomes our mode of seeing the life, how big that can impact our brains and impact our lives. And so I want to ask this question. When was the last time before today that you truly expressed thanksgiving to someone? When was the last time you really expressed thanksgiving to your kids, to your parents, your spouse, your friend, your fellow employee, your boss, a stranger who helped you? When was the last time you truly expressed thanksgiving? When was the last time you complained? Giving thanks doesn't come naturally to us. Giving thanks is something that we have to learn how to practice and put into practice, to develop the habit of giving thanks. That I realize it's going this week, there's sometimes something in us, I think, where we're so resistant to giving thanks to someone for something they did. How many times have you ever not given thanks to someone who did something for you because that's what they're supposed to do? That's their job. Why should I thank? They're my spouse. Why should I thank them? That's what they're supposed to do. That's what kids are supposed to do. Why should I thank them? We're so resistant to giving thanks to one another. And yet it can have such a big impact on our life. Would you stand as we read from 1 Thessalonians 5, 16 to 18? Paul writing to the church in Thessalonica says, rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstance, for this, all three of these, is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. This is the word of the Lord. Go ahead and be seated. So Paul, as he's writing to the church in Thessalonica, this first letter, as he finishes his letter, sort of summing up his letter, gives these three commands to believers. And if you look at Paul's other letters, these three same commands come up in almost every single letter about what it means to follow Jesus. The one commentator, the author, mentioned that these are the marks that are to be the three basic marks of every single believer. And so as we go through them today, I want you to ask yourself, are these marks in my life? Is this who I am? Or are any of these maybe in need of a little attention? And so the first one Paul writes is to rejoice always. Paul calls for us to be people who are marked by joy. And we need to remember, joy and happiness are not the same. We live in a society that dwells and runs after happiness. The difference between them is happiness is usually dependent on our happenstances, or it's dependent upon our external circumstances in life. When our health is good, when things are going well in relationships, when things are going well in our job, when there's no stress upon us, we have this emotion of happiness. But as soon as anything negative comes our way, anything goes sideways, anytime there's conflict, happiness, as soon as that emotion of happiness leaves us, we then lose happiness. Joy, on the other hand, it's an inward disposition of our heart. Joy isn't something we can manufacture on our own. Joy is something that comes from God. The fruit of the Spirit, it's love and it's joy. That if we want to be joyful people, we need to be spending time in God and living in the presence of His Holy Spirit. The more we're connected to Jesus, the more time we spend in God's presence, the more we carry that presence of God with us, the more joyful we're going to find ourselves. The thing about joy is not dependent on our circumstance because it's dependent on God. Joy can coexist with suffering and pain, whereas happiness cannot. Paul, throughout his letter to the Philippians, over and over, one of the themes of that book is rejoice. To be filled with joy. Paul, throughout his letters, talks about as believers that there's things we need to unlearn and things we need to learn afresh and anew. And one of those things is joy. As a church, as a people of God, I think this is one of the attributes of the fruit of the Spirit we struggle with is joy. If you went around and asked people, who are the most joyful people you know, I don't think people would say Christians offhand. Because we tend to complain like everyone else. But the Bible over and over in Paul's letters and elsewhere writes that if you're following God, if you're one of his disciples, joy should be a mark of your life. That joy for us comes from having eyes and hearts that are centered on Jesus when we understand and know his promises. Think of all the promises of God toward us. That he promises to supply everything we need. He promises to be with us and never forsake us or leave us. He promises that when we are weak, he will be strong for us. He promises that every negative situation that we find ourselves in, he can work for our good. We have the promise that God loves us and that love will never decrease. We have the promise that when we come to him, we're forgiven. Our sins are removed. We're as white as snow. And we could go on and on talking about the promises of God. Joy reminds us, comes from the reminder that we live in a relationship with the God of gods, the King of kings, the Lord of lords, as we read. That there is nothing outside of his power, outside of his control. Whereas happiness can't coexist with pain and suffering, joy can, because God promised to be with us even in moments of pain and suffering and trial. Joy is found in Jesus. It's a gift of the Holy Spirit. What about your life? Would people say that your life is bubbling, that there's joy in you, even in the midst of difficult times? Or is your life one that's more marked by going from happiness to happiness to happiness? That if we want to be people who are known by joy, it begins by spending time in God's word and in the presence of God. That the more we spend time talking to God, the more we spend with him, we have cause and reason for joy. The second mark, Paul tells us, is to pray continually. Now, I remember when I was doing junior high ministry, one of the kids, we were talking about this, and they said, Pastor, you can't talk to God all the time out loud, because if I'm talking to you, I'm not talking to God right now. And I was like, you are very smart. But Paul's not just talking about a verbal talking to God. This idea of praying continual, it's, again, a disposition of our heart and minds that we're to be men and women who throughout our day are living and walking in the presence of God, that we're constantly having conversations with God. They might be verbal conversations. They might be conversations that we have with God in our head and in our heart. It's one of those things where often we see of prayer as just being, God, I have this need. I need you to do something about it. And that's part of what prayer is. But prayer is so much more. This idea of praying continually, it's us having a conversation with God throughout our day about the things that we see around us, the people we encounter, the things that we notice that are going on inside of us. How many of us is prayer simply when we're in trouble, we ask God for prayer, or before a meal we pray, or when we go to bed we pray? How many of us are practicing having conversations with God throughout our day? Do we realize that God wants to speak to us throughout our day about what's going on? I How often have you seen something that's beautiful or something that's wonderful and sort of stopped and just sort of said out loud in your heart, God, that was amazing. The other night this week, I was driving home, and over the mountains, the sun was setting, the clouds were this beautiful purple and blue and dark blue, and I remember going, God, that is awesome, thank you. Do we see the goodness of God, and are we quick to give him praise? Are we quick to have a conversation? God, that's amazing. Or what about if you're at work or you're driving somewhere or even just you notice someone's having a rough day? Do you send the sort of prayer of, God, that person looks like they're having a rough time. Would you meet them wherever they're at? And maybe have that extra conversation of, God, should I go over and say something? The answer to that is yes. Are we having those conversations throughout the day of whether if you're sitting in a coffee shop, do you just... I like the people watch when I'm in the coffee shop sometime, and just sort of as I see people of just, man, they look like they're having a rough day, and just pray for them. What about if you have a test or a meeting and you're nervous? Do you ever just say, God, would you give me peace? Would you help me remember the things I need to remember? God, would you be with me today? Or maybe you said something wrong or you did something wrong. Again, this conversation of, God, I just messed up. Would you forgive me? And even that bigger conversation of, God, I keep messing up. Would you tell me why? Would you show me where my heart needs to change? Or, God, I keep having this problem. Would you change my heart? This is call of Paul for us to be men and women who are constantly in a conversation with the Almighty. And not just talking to him, but do we spend time not just saying, God, would you do these things? God, why? What's going on in my heart? And to stop and listen to what God wants to speak back to you. And to respond appropriately. Are you someone who is learning how to pray continually, or do we just simply pray before bed or a meal or when something's wrong? Do we forget that we have the God of the universe, the King of Kings, who invites us to talk with him throughout our days? That again, if our eyes are open to see what's going on around us, to see the people, we might find God saying, yes, that person's having a bad day. Why don't you go find out? And you might be like, well, that's an awkward conversation. Probably. But there's sometimes we see people and you just know they're having a rough day. Do we go over and say, hey, I hope you don't mind, but it just seems like you're having a rough day? And if they're like, yeah, it's not the best day, of just saying, can I pray for you? Would you like to talk about it? But again, sometimes we're so busy rushing from one thing to other, we don't have that time. Because sometimes when you ask that, people may say, no, I don't want to talk about it. And then you say, that's fine, can I just pray for you? And if people are going through things, they're going to most likely say yes. Sometimes when you ask, would you like to talk about it? You better also be ready because they may be waiting for someone to ask. Yes, can I tell you what's going on? And then you sit there and you say, God, give me the words to pray over this person. And the cool thing is, as they're telling you what's going on, if it's heavy stuff, you don't have to solve it. But you have a God who can solve it. And our job is just, that sounds like it's really rough, or I've been there, if you've been there, and say, can I just pray for you? Or can I tell you what God has done for me in a similar thing? That God invites us to be men and women who pray continually, are in this conversation with him about the world, about the people around us, and about what's going on in our own hearts. One of the things I think that keeps us from being people who pray continually, headphones and earbuds. Especially for the younger generations, how often do we see people with earbuds in and they almost get hit by a car, or you almost hit them because they're not paying attention? But we're so trained to have noise and music and things constantly in our head that we can't really hear or have conversations. How are we doing on praying continually? And lastly, Paul says to give thanks in all circumstances. To be thankful in every situation that you find yourself in. realizing thankfulness, it's a hard thing to practice when everything's going good, because when everything's going good, our default sometimes is to think, my life is going good because I'm good at what I'm doing. And so it's easy, well, I don't need to thank myself because things are going great. But to remind ourselves that every good and perfect gift we have comes from God. That even if you're doing well, do you understand, we realize that every gift and skill we've been given has been given to us by God. That there's no point where I remember before I was born where I said, God, I would like these gifts. We don't have control over when we're born, where we're born. Everything we have is a gift from God. Do we recognize that in the good times of God? Thank you for this good season in my life. God, thank you that you've given me these skills. God, would you help me to use these skills to bring you glory? Again, constant conversations. And when we're in hard and difficult circumstances, giving thanks, again, it's difficult there because sometimes in the midst of the hard times, we don't see the end in sight. That sometimes we want to say, God, get me out of this. And God's response is, not yet. I'm still going to teach you things. I will get you through it. That thankfulness, when we're going through difficult things, is hard. And yet Paul, throughout his letters, reminds his churches, and many of his churches that he wrote to were in the midst of persecution and suffering. And Paul says, I know what's going on, and yet give thanks to God. Because just like prayer, when we pause and give thanks to God, we start to remember who God is. We start to remember the goodness of God, all of his grace, all of his mercies that he gives to us each and every day. We're reminded that God promises to be with us, to strengthen us, that he loves us, that he's for us, that he's with us. We're reminded that we're forgiven. We're reminded that every breath you and I take is a gift from God. That we don't get to choose how many hours or days. Everything we have is a gift from God. That we are sitting here today is a gift of God. That we have clothes on, gift from God. That we have food to eat, gift from God. That we got here somehow today, gift from God. That you have friends and family you're sitting with, gift of God. We have so many reasons to give thanksgiving, and yet we're so resistant or just negligent on giving thanksgiving to God. And again, we're wired to see the negative in our life, that God calls us, God, would you change my heart that I would see your goodness even in the difficult times? See, they're having fun back there. And I was reading this week, the same journals that talked about the negative effects of complaining also talked about the positives of thankfulness and gratitude. So they wrote that gratitude, thankfulness, activates regions of our brain associated with reward. It enhances feelings of the brain. It supports mental health. It can improve our mood, increase empathy, strengthen social bonds. Thankfulness creates feelings of happiness and contentment. It stimulates part of our nervous system that regulates how we respond to anxiety and worry in more positive ways. Gratitude stimulates and strengthens the parts of our brains that deal with emotions, memory, and bodily functioning. That it affects and it builds bridges with how we see things in a positive light. The more thankful we are, the more connections we build in our brain, that when our brain is functioning, that it can change to give us a more positive view of ourselves and the world around us. That gratitude makes us more emotionally resilient. It reduces stress. It helps us bounce back from failures better. People who are, and this was an interesting one, one mentioned, people who are grateful to God are healthier and have higher levels of stress resilience. Thankful people have fewer common health complaints as headaches, digestion problems, infections, dizziness, sleep problems. Gratitude improves our relationships with people, even bosses and employees. See, when God was calling us to be men and women who give thanks, it wasn't just a new command he was giving us. He was trying to tell us, this is how I wired you. I wired you to be men and women who give thanks. When we read these, when I was reading through these things, I was like, oh, we should have just been like, yes, I can't believe it took you that long to realize this. Because that's how God has wired us. That God wired our bodies that we would be men and women who give thanks to one another and to God. Do we realize that every community we walk into, every circle of people, we're going to walk in there and either create an atmosphere of complaining or an atmosphere of thanksgiving? What atmosphere do you create when you walk into a room? Do you withhold thanksgiving from people? Like, that's their job. Why should I thank them? My husband or wife should have known to say that. Why should I thank them? I don't know what it is about us that we are so resistant to giving thanks and acknowledging the goodness in others. That yes, it might be their job, but we all know there are days where things are going on in our life and it's a battle just to get through the day, just to show up. What if someone that is working where we're at or whatever, and there you can, again, if you're paying attention, you can tell when someone's struggling, and maybe they say or do something, or they're wearing a nice outfit, and you say, hey, that's a great shirt, or whatever it is. Thank you for what you do. What if that's the word they needed to get them through the next hour? What if that's the word they needed to hear that God was seeing? May we be a people that not just waits to give thanks when it's community sharing or on Thanksgiving. May we be the people of God that we understand, God, you've called me to be a person who gives thanks to you, who gives thanks to those around me. God, would you help me to be a person that when I walk into my communities, I'm known as the thankful person rather than the complainer. And so as the worship team comes up, I have a challenge for us this week. If you have family with you that you live with, or if you have friends that you're always hanging out with, give them this permission. Say, hey, this week, if you find that I complain 3 times in a row before I give a thanks, call me out on it. And say, hey, you've been doing a lot of complaining today. Can you give me some thanks? What are you thankful for? Because we do it by default. Here's another challenge. This week, try to at least once a day write out a note of thanks for someone around you and give it to them. Could be a coworker, could be a family member, could be someone in a coffee shop or gym or wherever you're at, to start cultivating that heart of thankfulness. Hey, I saw how you were with that customer. That was a great job. I just want to say that. Because again, it's exercising that muscle in our heart of thankfulness, but we also don't know how God will use that simple act of recognition and acknowledgement. Of saying, hey, I saw what you did and it was good. Keep going. Because couldn't we all use some encouragement sometime? How many times have we done something that we're like, I wish someone might have seen that, because I'm always getting told what I'm not doing, but no one ever tells me what I am doing good. And yes, our reward comes from God, but what if God also said, I put my people there to be observant, that when they see it, they call it out for me, to encourage one another. So this week, try to give a note of just, hey, I saw that act, I saw that deed, well done. Or thank you for that word you said to me today. Thank you for that simple act you did this week. There's someone in your family who always cooks the meal. Have you ever said thank you for cooking? Or someone who's always cleaning up. Hey, thanks for picking up after me. I know I'm a slob. Or someone at work who maybe always has a helpful comment or a nice thing to say. They're saying, hey, thank you for your attitude. I appreciate it. And may we learn to cultivate this, that again, it's not just something that happens once a week or once a year, sorry, but something that happens day in and day out. Because the more we bring that attitude of thanksgiving, you know what conversation you're eventually going to have is, why are you always so thankful? Let me tell you about Jesus and everything he has done for me, and you'll understand why I'm so thankful. and you have your opportunity to share what Jesus is doing. But if you go in there and you're the complainer every single day, they're not going to be asking you, or they might ask you, why do you complain all the time? Guess what? That's not a work of God. That's a work of the enemy. May we be a people where we come in and we're quick to recognize the good in others, to acknowledge and to be thankful for them. Because again, it may be something very simple to us, but we don't know what people are going through. But a couple weeks ago, I was reading an article and someone was saying, do we realize that probably 90% of the people we pass during the day are carrying around some weight we don't see? And how far a simple word of thanks, a simple recognition for something they've done, can help carry that load for just a little bit. And again, the more we do it, the more we become the people who are the thanks and the gratitude people, that atmosphere we create when we come in a room, at some point, because it's so rare, someone's going to ask you, why are you so thankful? You got the hook. Share about Jesus. So I invite you just to close your eyes. Just think through your week, the people you're going to encounter, even if it's just family, coworkers, employees, even your boss. Have you seen anything in them over the last week or month that you're like, I probably should have acknowledged that? I probably should have recognized that. Would you write them a note, send them an email or a text this week, doing just that? Thanking them, encouraging them. Take a moment to see who the Spirit of God brings to your mind.